Living in the past keeps me from living in the present. This is Dr. Herb L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Living in the past keeps me from living in the present. At one time I mentioned how at our home, when I was growing up as a child last year, we had on the table a bowl. And the bowl held spoons, because the bowl held spoons. And whenever you would do the dishes, and you'd wash the spoons and knives and forks and so forth, the knives and forks would all go into the drawer, and the spoons would go into a bowl on the table. Because no matter who sat at the kitchen table, whether it was midnight or whether it was mealtime or whether it was in the middle of the afternoon or whenever it was, and they were having a cup of coffee or something, the spoons were always there ready. The spoons and the sugar bowl and the cream was in the refrigerator, milk, you know. So these are traditional things because their kitchen table, it was called the board, you know, in many families. Everyone sat around the board. They sat around the room and board. What does board mean? Board means food. Now, how strange. But that's where the tradition comes from. And whenever there's a problem, people go sit at the dining room table. Whenever there's something to be thought out together, they have. If there's a piece of cake to be served, they don't sit in their chairs in the living room. Everybody goes to the dining room table. And you take a spoon from the middle of the table, and you take your plate with your piece of cake on it and ice cream, you know, and you eat that. And you have your coffee or your milk or your tea or whatever you have. And then when you're done eating, you just clear the table. And when the dishes are all washed and the knives and forks are all done, very few knives and forks, the spoons always ended up on the table. It's a very wonderful thing. Are sitting at the table with the spoons and with problems and solutions, and it's just a happy time. Normally, people didn't have dining rooms. Dining rooms were something that you had only in later years. Early times, the kitchen was the dining room. Your kitchen was built large enough so that you have a large dining room table and a kitchen table in there, and everyone could sit around it.
And it was warm.
And warm. Yeah, that's a good point, too. Mm-hmm. Especially in the summer. It was nice and cozy. And so.
No winter.
And no winter. But it was a place of meeting. It was a place of sharing. It was a place of loving. And the spoon always invited you to think that there was maybe coffee coming or hot chocolate, or whatever.
Ice cream.
Ah, yeah, ice cream. And other good stuff. So, these are traditions, and we certainly want to do away with them. We want to utterly erase them from our life because they are yesterday. They are things that are of no value to us today. It has no value for us today to sit down together and share our love together, share our thinking together, share our talking together, because we have learned that that just isn't what you do. Now, I think the dining room will get smaller and smaller and smaller, and the kitchen is certainly getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The living room's getting bigger, and we have our TV tables, and we have our coffee tables, and we have our eating around the television, eating around the screen, and very little family sharing. And mother and dad are out on their activities, and the kids are out on their activities, and the only person who is at home is the babysitter who's sitting with the youngest ones, you know. And everybody else is out doing things. Now, is it that we want to get rid of the old traditions, or is it that we want to build a new tradition? What sort of new tradition would you like to have in your home relative to, say, eating around the table? Would you like to have a tradition where you sit together and eat around the table and have a lovely time together? or would you like to have the tradition where you gobble it up as fast as you can and get up and clear the table and go about your activities because you got more interesting activities going on away from the table than you do at the table? Or when you come to the monastery, you never know what's going to be at the table. People, dogs, cats, telephones, the world is right at our fingertips at the table. This morning, during breakfast, we had 3 telephone calls from Switzerland, which is a little more than usual, but we had 3 telephone calls from Switzerland, all beautiful calls, all sharing wonderful thoughts of our forthcoming seminars next year and things like that, and all the setup that we're doing. Because when you're dealing internationally, what time it is here is quite different from what time it is there. Now, what time did you say it was there? 6 o'clock in the evening, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning here, and 6 o'clock in the evening in Switzerland. So, you see, people over there are doing totally different things than we're doing. Now, what should they be doing? Beatrice, what should they be doing in Switzerland at this time?
Having dinner.
Having dinner.
Yeah.
It's dinner time, 6 o'clock, right? That's a good dinner time. Mm-hmm. And what are we doing at 9 o'clock in the morning? We're having breakfast. We're a little late, but that's because we talk so much. But our table here invites sharing. It invites discussing with one another. It invites us each showing clippings that we found from various places and sharing it. We just read all about chocolate and dark chocolate, how it is now got a good rap from the medical association that it will take your heart and make your heart sound and hearty, you know, and you'll live forever. I don't know what else will happen, but you'll live forever. But if chocolate is that good and it does that much good for you, there must be other things that it does too, wouldn't you think so? Now, see what wonderful things we learn at the dining room table. And here we have a kitchen, and we have a big kitchen. But we have a rolling table in the middle of the kitchen. And the kitchen is not quite large enough to have a table with chairs in it, unless you have a very skinny table. And nobody could do any work around you. Our kitchen should have been made another 8 foot larger, you know, wider. Wouldn't that have been great? Just think, we'd have our big table out there. And then we have a big dining room, and we have a big table in the dining room. We have, what is this, 48 inches? Or no, 60.
64.
It's a 6 foot table or 5 foot table, a round glass table in the dining room. And then we have our deck out here with the beautiful California sunshine shining all around us, lovely and beautiful. And we have another glass top table out here on the deck. No. I remember when we first came up to Campbell, we had a beautiful house. We had Montage de Ville de Meditation. It was a beautiful place, and it was a lovely house, and it was falling down. And it seems our first houses were always falling down. So we were renting that one. It was an 80-acre parcel. And so we asked the owner, could we fix the house up a little bit? Do anything you want to it. As far as he was concerned, it was a loser, you know. So we fixed it up. We put in sheets of normal glass, not special glass, you know, but normal glass, all along 2 walls. And it made the most beautiful, big living room, dining room porch that you could ever imagine. Really nice. We would sit there in the evenings and we'd watch the stars, we'd watch the satellites, we'd watch the outer space people, what were they called? The UFOs as they were flying around in the sky, and we really saw them. And we told different people in El Cajon about it, and they'd come up and watch, and they'd sit around the table and have coffee with us and watch these UFOs as they're flying around, because you can see doom, 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 doing squares, and it's magic, just really magic. And it was just a great time. And then our kitchen there, we had a kitchen that was big enough to have a table that fed 15 or 18 people. That's a lot of people. It's a long, long kitchen. And one day we opened up our stove, and it was an electric stove. We hadn't used the oven much. We used just the top of the stove. And we opened up the oven, and there was all the stuffing in the oven, you know, pulled out and made into a bed in there, a nest. And so we took a stick and cleaned it out. And first, a bunch of rattlesnakes came out, and we had to take them outside. And then there were some skunks. And I didn't know rattlesnakes and skunks got along together, but apparently they did. And we got them out. And because the skunks came in through the doggy door. But we blessed the doggy door thereafter, and they didn't come in anymore. But we had just great adventures and great sharing. One evening, it was about 5 in the afternoon, I came home and from town, and there was my house all aglow, and it was late in the winter afternoon, and all the people around, and my kitchen was filled with 5 or 6, maybe 7 people sitting at the table, and they were taking food out of my refrigerator and eating it, and they were just transients who were going by. They were people who were hitchhiking, you know, and they were walking along this country road, which is 94, which was really nothing at that place. And I said, hello, who are you? And they said, well, the door was open, so we came in and helped ourselves. And, of course, there's no locks on the doors anyhow. So I said, this is our house, and you have to ask permission. Well, no, this is God's house. It says they're God Unlimited. Well, you know, what are you going to do? So they ate. And I said, and then they slept in Socrates Hall, which was our big chapel that we had there. And they enjoyed sleeping in Socrates Hall. So that next day, they came down for breakfast. And I said to them, now, I think you're ready to be on your way. And they said, oh, no, it's quite nice here. I said, you are on your way. Now, thank you for stopping by. It's lovely to talk to you and visit with you, but now leave. And they were a little reluctant. And I said, I think you want to leave when I ask you to leave, rather than having me call the sheriff. And they said, oh, yeah, okay, bye. And then they went their way. But we were off of the road, not too far, but people love to stop by, and they love to come in, and they love to be part of our family. And when we had our church services on the Sunday, which we had every Sunday, everybody from everywhere in the world, it seemed, came. And Millie McGeehan and her clan, and Carol Ellsworth and her clan. We had, well, maybe 25, 30 people that were coming in from all different places with their children, their families, wanting to swim in our swimming pool and be at our church service. But they all brought baskets of food. And it was very wonderful. Because in the early years, we didn't have a lot of money coming in, and so that food fed us for the rest of the week, because they left behind whatever we didn't eat, you know, like the bread, the loaves, and the fishes that Jesus had. What was left over was good for us. But you see, eating the table and sharing and doing things like that has always been the tradition of everything. Because that's the time when you tell each other how much you love each other by how you act. You tell each other how much you mean in each other's world, and it's a wonderful thing. But now those are all stories of the past. Oh, I brushed over them rather quickly because they're stories of the past. And why do I brush over them quickly? Because we have so many stories in the present that it's timeless to begin talking about them. There are so many things. Today, we're sitting out here on our deck. We're looking at this beautiful weather. And we're enjoying the bees as they're flying around, and the hummingbirds as they're flying around, the butterflies as they're flying around. We just have a place filled with light and love. And we have a grape arbor up here along the entire edge of the porch. And Gregor Mueller is supposed to be here taking care of our grapes, but he never shows up. Once every 2 or 3 years he comes, you know, and then he doesn't even look at the grapes. He says, you should see what I got at home. I said, yeah, look at what we got here. So these are growing without anybody's direction, except maybe a clip or two from our handyman. But it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Our table is the source of the scene of many wonderful discussions, many wonderful thoughts, many wonderful sharings, and that's the way it will always be. And if your table, wherever it may be, is always an open table, welcoming everyone who comes, then that's great. It's just like we have guests that stop by and visit us, and then we are going out for dinner. So we go out, and we end up having our guests for dinner. And so we're paying not only for our regular people who are with us, but we're paying for the guests who are stopping in to visit us, and their children, and everything else. And it makes for a very interesting situation sometimes when you hadn't planned on it. But that's the way life is. That's why it's so important to live in the present, to live in the now. So we take my mother's bowl of spoons and we put them in the archives where they belong, mm-hmm. in history. And we take all the other things, having a candle on the table, that's historical, that's antique. So we don't have a candle on the table. We have a lovely vase on the table, which has four fluted iron bars coming up on it, and it holds this beautiful vase, and in the vase is a very colorful, smelly, perfumed candle that nobody can smell because it's not that strong an odor. But it burns, and the wind will let us burn it and let us enjoy it. So we have all sorts of things that are just wonderful here. And what's another tradition we have?
Flower. The flower on the table.
I'm giving the talk. And if you're going to answer my rhetorical questions, then I got to talk about your subject. So now Ellen says we have a flower on the table. Well, traditionally, I've asked Ingeborg, would you please take responsibility to have a flower on the table at every meal? Just whatever, a flower, two flowers, 1,000 flowers, whatever you want, but just a flower at the table. So Ingeborg brings a flower at the table. She sometimes forgets, and she walks in at the last minute, she grabs a flower from a bunch of flowers and sniffs it off. It's a little too short to reach the water, but it's just there for the mealtime, so it's okay. But you see, that's a tradition too. And sometimes we change those traditions. And who knows what comes next? Who knows what comes next? Now, what comes next, we may get a different type of containers for our cereals. We like to have 12 cereals on the table at breakfast time. And maybe sometime we'll just have 3 or 4. And we like to have yogurt on the table. And we used to have yogurt in a tall container, and that nice blue tall container, which seemed to be very good, but we've disposed of that somehow. Man, that's just changing traditions, you know. And
as the family grew, it became too small.
Yeah. What is yogurt? Is yogurt called a condiment? Or is yogurt called a meal in itself?
I would think so.
I'm sorry, you're saying it's a meal in itself?
I would think so.
Well, then we should serve it in meal-sized servings. Everyone should have a cup of yogurt, or whatever portion you determine to give. You follow what I'm saying? Because then if everybody has that, then that doesn't have to take up the middle of the table. Pretty soon you get everything off the middle of the table. Mm-hmm. All we do is have the flour and the candle there. And then, Ellen, or maybe I should talk to Beatrice. Then, Beatrice, we will have the flour and the candle floating in the air over the table, mm-hmm. not taking any space. And wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. And then we are floating over our chairs.
Well,
and that's why it's so empty, because we don't eat them anymore.
Little by little, you know, who knows? So, the table is a place for planning and dreaming and thinking and having all sorts of wonderful things come up, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, take these thoughts and make something of them and enjoy it. And we wandered through many wonderful things. But Mother, thank you for your bowl of spoons. They have served their purpose off and on. Who knows what next generations they will come up and be brought forth again and then ultimately be disposed of. And as Ellen gesticulates in front of all of us, she takes her finger and she cleans her plate and licks her finger off, and she says, pretty soon we're back to just finger eating. How interesting, huh? And then back to licking it with our tongue, and back to, you know what came before that, Ellen? What do you think it might have been? Anybody?
No eating.
No eating. Now, isn't it strange that we go from no eating to eating? Now, why did we go to eating? Because we developed the taste with our tongue, the flavor with our nose, the smell, and then the vision with our eyes. And we like to do what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is licking their plate, yum, yum, yum. Everybody else is eating. Everybody else is chewing on that bone. And the bone probably wasn't all that good. But when the kings were eating on their bone and throwing the bone to the dog afterwards, they made it such a situation that everybody else wanted to do it too. Fascinating, isn't it? Well, enjoy. We could wander on longer, but I think we have done enough for today and had a lot of nothing to say. I love you. I love you. I love you.